Our next guest is someone I've known for a long time. She's written a book about her journey through breast cancer, and you know her too. Her name is Cynthia Egel, and some call her Cindy. Her friends get to call her Cindy. Her book is called Boundless Blessings and God's Grace. This is a woman whose life has been literally transformed through her breast cancer diagnosis, and she joins us now to tell us a little bit about her story. Cindy, good afternoon.
Good to be with you.
It is wonderful to see you again as well. When were you diagnosed?
On April the 12th, 2011.
Can you tell us the circumstances?
I sure can. Before I was diagnosed, I was the type of person that took breast cancer very seriously. I did all the preventative things, like a mammogram at the age, my baseline at the age of 35. Annual mammogram starting at the age of 40, every single year annually. I also did monthly self-breast exams. I also went for a yearly physical with my physician. I was eating right. I was exercising. I was walking 18 holes of golf with my sister Jill on both Saturday and Sunday morning, pushing a cart. And we were out at either Rose Creek or at Edgewood with the men early in the morning, and they put up with us. They tolerated us, and bless their souls, they'd even let us play with them every once in a while. So, you know, we felt like we were in good company. But when I had normal mammograms, Sandy, all the way through for 12 years, and I'd even call and schedule my baby sister, Jill, who is my roommate, her mammogram, because I knew she probably wouldn't call and schedule it for herself. So I'd either make it before or after mine. Then I knew for sure she was going to show up. And then we'd either go and play a round of golf, or we'd go out to eat, or make it a fun event. And I think that's part of the thing that people need to do. Mammograms are not real comfortable to get through, but I truly believe they save lives. Although in my case, all of mine came back as normal. I actually started having breast pain, some significant breast pain in the lower left part of my left breast, and it kept moving out under my left arm. And I kept ignoring it because I thought, well, it couldn't possibly be breast cancer. I had done everything I was supposed to do, including the monthly self-breast exams. Mm-hmm. But it just got persistently worse. And it was in January of 2011, and it would come on. It felt like someone was stabbing me. And it would dissipate after about 5 minutes or so, but it would come and go, you know, sporadically. It wasn't there all the time, but it was mm-hmm. sporadic. And so by April of 2011, I couldn't take it anymore. I finally called and made an appointment with my family physician's office, and I went to see one of their physician's assistants. I believe that was the 4th of April. And when I went for the appointment, I was there by myself, perfectly capable, independent woman. So, you know, I drove myself there, just hoping it was going to be something like a blocked duct or mm-hmm. a cyst or an abscess. She marked two spots on my lower left breast and one under my arm. And she left the room, and she came back in, and she said, "Cynthia, you will not be going back to work today. You need to get dressed. They're going to work you into the schedule down at the breast imaging clinic down at the main Broadway clinic. Mm-hmm. And so you need to go there immediately." And she said, "I'm not telling you that it's breast cancer, because we don't know that at this point. You just need to go down there so that they can try to find out what's going on. They're going to do an ultrasound." Mm-hmm. So I got to my car, and I remember kind of dazed sitting there thinking, wow, okay, I'm not quite sure what's going on here, but I'll call my boss and tell him I won't be back to the office. I called my mom. First, I had called my two sisters, both that were very busy with their jobs. And my mom is still living 200 miles away in Candu, North Dakota. So she said, "Cindy, just stay put. I'll call and see if your brother-in-law might be able to come over and go with you." And so Tom, my brother-in-law, drove over and mm-hmm. picked me up. And we went down to the main clinic and waited. It was about 3.5 hours. Bless their souls, they got me worked into the schedule. I went through the ultrasound. The technician left the room. And about 10 minutes later, she came back in with Dr. Janine Carson, the radiologist, on duty that day. Mm-hmm. And she just said to me, "We're having a heck of a time trying to see what we're looking for here. Looking at your breast tissue is like looking through mud." She said, "It's really dense, very, very dense. And so we need to try this again." So they went through it again. And mm-hmm. finally, she turned back to me and she said, we need to schedule 3 needle biopsies as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Did they do those right away?
Not on that day. It was scheduled, that was a Tuesday, and I went the following Monday for the needle biopsies. And so those were completed, and I went home to rest. And Dr. Carson had told me within the next, I believe she said by Wednesday of that week, I would know, have some idea mm-hmm. what was happening.
When did you finally find out?
It was the next day, 2:30 in the afternoon. She called mm-hmm. me at home and told me that I had all 3 of the biopsies had come back positive for breast wow. cancer.
Were you alone then?
No, there was a lovely woman from my hometown of Candu who had recently moved to West Fargo mm-hmm. to be with us. Here in West Fargo. And my mom had called her the night before and told her I probably would be worried. And would she consider coming to sit with me if I called and asked her to? And she said, definitely. And her name is Pat. So what,
do you share a universal feeling and with people who've heard that word?
Breast cancer?
Cancer.
I do. Well, simply because I've had that in our immediate family.
Your brother died of it.
Right. He died of brain cancer. He was diagnosed at the age of 17 and passed away at the age of 21.
Wow.
And it was a really long, obviously drawn-out battle. He was at the University of Minnesota Hospitals. His first surgery was 17 hours long, Sandy. Mm. And he had tremendous neurosurgeons that worked with him. He went through a lot of treatments, but in the end it reoccurred, and so we ended up losing him. So we knew what it was like to go through that as a family. So I didn't really relish having to play the role of the next sibling that, you know, had to carry the cancer, you know, banner. But I just know that I learned a lot going through that with our family.
Certainly.
And my journey has been approached in a positive manner, in a humorous manner, probably.
Well, and I'm a firm believer in that as well.
Yes.
I think you have to find some humor in something that is so frightening and so devastating and so life-threatening.
Yes.
So you found humor, and I can understand how you brought that to it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. And was it difficult for you, and keep time in mind because we don't have the whole hour, but what was it like for you to tell the people that you know loved you the most?
That I had cancer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't cry when I got the diagnosis initially. I think you just go into a survival mode almost immediately.
Really?
It's something that is deep within you that says, I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to have to fight with everything I am.
You were stage 2 breast cancer.
Stage 2B.
Tell us what treatment was like for you in the last couple of years.
Well, I went in to speak with Dr. Panwalker, my medical oncologist at the Sanford Health's Roger Mears Cancer Center. The first time that I saw him, I actually gave him a high five because earlier that morning I had been in for a PET scan because in my case, one of the areas that came back with breast cancer was a lymph node mm-hmm. that was nearly 4 centimeters in size.
Wow.
And so when he came into the room to tell me it hadn't spread any farther than the 2 tumors in the low part of the left breast and under my arm for that one lymph node, I just was ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to believe when you're diagnosed with cancer, you're ecstatic, but I was because I kept on thinking, thank goodness it hasn't moved, metastasized. So that was a blessing.
Treatment began.
I had surgery on May the 2nd, double lumpectomy, removal of 9 lymph nodes from underneath my left arm, recovery for about a month, and I had my port placed on my chest on the 6th of June. My first chemotherapy, and I had 16 of them, was the next day on the 7th of June. I went through double chemos, and I write about the fact, you know, pretty specifically about the medications. There were 5 ramp-up drugs that were administered, and then the first type of chemo drug, and then the second mm-hmm. type. And then it was about a 5 to 6 hour procedure for those 4.
A lot of sickness, a lot of illness?
I can tell you that they send you home with some of the best medicine on the market.
Very good.
I did have some, but it was better controlled, I believe, because of the newer medications.
And you are going to have an opportunity to talk more with Cynthia about this. We'll tell you how you can reach her as well. Boundless blessings and God's grace. And I'm curious. I know that your faith plays a huge role in how this diagnosis changed your life. And but I'm wondering, were you a devout Christian before?
I had a very firm faith. Catholic faith. But on the day I was diagnosed, Sandy, I just asked God to get me through this. I just offered it up to Him. I knew I was going to need Him by my side every single day. I couldn't imagine what was really lying ahead. Mm-hmm. I could think, well, it's going to be pretty horrendous. But as it was, I fared pretty well. I mean, I was sick. Don't mind, you know, I'm not telling you that, girl. And then, you know, following the 16 chemos, I had about a month to recover and went through 33 daily radiation treatments. Wow. You know, so in, I decided that I wanted to work the entire time. So I was working 8-hour days because I wanted to feel somewhat normal. Mm-hmm. Like I might have, you know, something that felt normal in my day, and that was going to work and trying to do my job and just look to the future, stay positive.
You are so brave and you are so wonderful to talk to. And I'm so thrilled that people will get a chance to buy this book. It is called Boundless Blessings and God's Grace, My Journey Through Breast Cancer. And it's available online?
It's available online and Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Westbow Press is who my publisher was, a subsidiary of Thomas Nelson, largest Christian publisher in the world. And it's also available in a number of spots in Fargo if people want to just go and buy a book. And they can find that information on my website, boundlessblessingsandgodsgrace.com. And that's God's without the apostrophe in between the D and the S. boundlessblessingandgodsgrace.com.
And this is really something that comes from your heart. It comes from the day that you wrote it, for example. These letters that you wrote in your, I guess, in your journal. This is sort of your personal journal.
Right.
And it really talks about how you were really feeling and how the, you know, the nights, I guess the nighttime can be sort of sometimes difficult. And you don't hold anything back. You share it all with us. And that is, and I admire you so much. We met when? In the early 80s, I think, doing the Children's Miracle Network.
We sure did. We had a blast back
then. Yes, we did have a blast.
And it's always fun to be able to give back and try to help other people, and especially in their time of need.
And you've done that.
I've tried really hard.
All your life.
Yes, I have.
Cindy, thank you so much. It's so good to see you and see you well.
Thank you so much, Sandy.